This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good morning, horse people. This is Coach Jen from Ocala, Florida, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for November 15th, 2012, episode 532. Horses in the Morning is live Monday, Wednesday, Friday, so today we bring you a highlight podcast from the Horse Radio Network. In honor of everyone's pre-holiday state of panic, we have a mashup show today featuring interviews with reigning legends Tom McCutcheon and Tim McQuay. Part two of our holiday helmet safety series brought to you by Charles Owen and Riders for Helmets, and we revisit driving radio show co-host Dr. Wendy Ying's attempt at really bad ads. Please be prepared to exercise your laugh muscles. Horses in the Morning will be back live tomorrow at 9 a.m. Eastern, replete with riotous reports regarding all things equine. And don't forget to surf the web for the silliest, snarkiest, snappiest classifieds and email them to jennifer@horseradionetwork.com. On Friday, we will share the top 12, and the listener who submitted the best of the worst, according to Jamie and Glenn, will win a helmet bling band. Stay tuned, folks. Hey, folks, Coach Jen here from the Horse Tip Daily Show. All of us as horsemen mull over our horses' nutrition and stress out over their stress level and fret about their fitness. But when is the last time you puzzled over your horse's lounging and sleeping comfort? Research has shown us over and over that quantity as well as quality of rest and sleep are crucial for top athletic performance as well as overall well-being. Enter Stable Comfort by ProMat. Astute horsemen everywhere have been trusting Stable Comfort by ProMat to provide unsurpassed comfort for their equine charges, as well as an efficient and economical stall flooring system that saves them both labor and bedding dollars. Still not sure? Well, here's what one of Stable Comfort by ProMat's customers has to say. When I built my first custom stables slightly more than 8 years ago, one of my greatest concerns was the stall mat selection. Frankly, I would rather have no stall mats than mats that constantly shift, tripping horses and requiring extra shavings to hide the problems in an attempt to make horses comfortable. And most of all, I dreaded the burden of having to move heavy mats and repack stall foundations. Mission accomplished, thanks to ProMat for delivering an excellent product. The horses love it because it is comfortable. I love it because it looks perfect, even after 8 years. We bed the stalls only as needed and use far less shavings than I ever could have had imagined. And it takes less time to clean the stalls when using less bedding. And that's from Ann Dewarge of Little Rock, Arkansas. But the accolades don't stop there. Head on over to stablecomfort.com and find out why champions like Nick Skelton, Mary King, and Chris Cox use Stable Comfort by ProMat systems for their equine athletes.
Well, now it's time to talk reining, Samantha.
Yeehaw, Glenn. Is that what they do when they're reining? We'll find out.
Yes.
Let's talk to our first guest, one quarter of the U.S. reining team, Tom McCutcheon. Welcome to the show, Tom. Tom, thank you very much for joining us on the 2010 radio show today. And I believe you're going to help explain how reining is going to work at the games and a little bit about it. But first of all, let's just introduce you properly to our listeners. You will be representing the United States at the games. Tell us a little bit about your horse and your background, please.
Well, I will. First, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be on your show. And my horse is Gunner Special Knight, and he's by the Hall of Fame Sire Gunner, and he's just a superstar horse. He's been a good horse his entire life. I didn't have him his entire life. I watched him. The first time I ever saw him was at our futurity, and he had one of the best runs that I've ever seen any horse have, and I was in love with him at that moment. And fortunately, early this spring, I had the opportunity to buy them, and luckily enough, Sarah Williman from Turnabout Farm, a customer of mine, went ahead and bought him for me, and the rest at this point is history. Now, hopefully there's a lot more history ahead of us, but so far, he's just been a great horse. He was real easy for me to go ahead and adapt to. You know, it doesn't always work that way when you get a horse from somebody else, but he's been super easy.
Tom, to give our listeners an idea, we have listeners now in 42 countries, and a lot of them are coming into the World Equestrian Games and will be watching you. How long have you been reining competitively?
Oh, wow. I did it as a kid. I grew up in the business, probably 25 years at least. And, I spent 4 years actually in Europe. I went to work in Italy right out of high school. And so I trained reining horses over there, and as a big part of that whole deal. And Italy is, I know a lot of the guys on the Italian team, and so that's going to be fun for me, but we've been doing it forever.
And doing it well, I might add.
Well, we get our share.
We want to mention that you're, according to your website, and I don't know how up to date this is, Tom, and I don't know if you'll even know, because I'm always amazed that the reiners just don't, the marketing people keep track of this, but the riders don't so much. You are $1 million, obviously, plus rider.
Right.
And congratulations on coming in. We are looking forward to the reining so much, and we're looking forward to covering the reining, because it is a very exciting sport. Anybody that has not seen it yet really should take time to hop on YouTube, see what it's really like. It is so much fun. Have you ever done anything else, or has it all been reining all the time?
You know, I've done about everything else, to be honest with you. I mean, when I was a kid, we trained rope horses and cutting horses and cow horses, and I've done most of it. I haven't done anything in an English saddle to this point in time, but I rode the pleasure horses and just did everything you could do in a Western saddle. But it's, haven't done anything with an English saddle. Now my wife does a lot of that, so I've seen a lot of it.
There's always time, Tom.
And I think And I think the great thing about the reiners is they always seem so willing to give back and they want everyone to know about the sport. And so let's explain a little bit about how the reining will work at the games.
It's formatted where the team, there'll be two runs, and the team competition will be first. The first day will be, trying to go for the team medals. And then the second round will be the individual round. And the top 15 horses and horse-rider combinations from the first go-around will go into the second go-around, or into the individual competition final.
And you'll ride the same horse?
You ride the same horse, correct.
Okay, and do you do the same thing in each round?
There will be a different pattern. They'll call a different pattern. I don't know at this point in time what the patterns are, but there will be a different pattern in the individual round. And, it is going to be a smoking good reining. The individual round for sure will be very, very tough. I mean, there's a lot of great, great riders, trainers, and horses going to that round. I would assume that they got to get through the first round, but I sure would assume that's going to happen, as good of riders and horses are going to be there. It's going to be a lot of fun. And that is, I showed in the test event there last year.
Yeah.
And that's a great pen. It's conducive to having some great runs. It's going to be a lot of fun.
And although you don't know the patterns, you'll know exactly all the patterns include certain basic steps, like the sliding halt.
Yeah.
Tell us what you exactly have to do.
Every pattern will have four spins in each direction, three sliding stops in most of the patterns. Some of the patterns have four sliding stops. I think probably the team go will have a pattern with three stops, and the individual will have four stops, which is, you know, great for a horse like mine that's a really big stopper. You know, that's the same pattern, the four-stop pattern is the pattern that I won the second go-around with at our qualifier. And that horse, you know, he's such a great stopper, that's really a good thing for me. You have to lope fast and slow circles both, both directions. So every pattern is basically the same. You just change up the order in which you perform the maneuvers.
Yeah. And we should mention that you are a WEG team gold medalist already and an individual silver medalist, so you've been down this road before.
You know, I have. I've been extremely fortunate. I was on the 02 team. I was an alternate on the 06 team, and now on this team. So I've been part of every team, and I was in the World Championships and the Masters. I've shown in a lot of international stuff. And, you know, all of that, I think, is that experience is super valuable going into these games.
Do you find
a little bit different?
I was going to say, do you find the judging to be different on the international level than on the national level?
I think no, okay. Not really. You know, the judges have to be approved for the sport at all levels, so... No, I think the judging is going to be good, and it's going to be fair, and there'll be judges from Europe and from the U.S. So I think it's going to be, the judging's not going to be an issue. I think it's going to be good.
How many judges are there?
There will be five judges.
And do
they throw out the high score and the low score and use the three scores in between.
And I love that that we're all encouraged to shout and cheer and scream. Do the judges take that into account? Is it like an applauseometer or not?
Well, they're not supposed to now, but you know how it is.
It doesn't hurt if we go in there and scream for you.
They are human, and you know, you scream for me all you want. That'd be awesome. I hope everybody's screaming for me there.
Well, you know, I was going to say, Tom, you have somebody that's actually representing the Western world quite well, and Stacy Westfall in the opening ceremonies. When she did that ride years ago, that first ride without a saddle and a bridle, that screaming helped her out. No question. So.
No question. You know what? And as a rider, when you're going out there and it's... And you know, they got the music going. You know, really, we show in a lot of our events now, we show with the music playing. And really, the international scene is what brought that into play. You know, Germany was, Aachen was, the music was loud, and it was, you know, it was a change for us. And, you know, everybody's always a little bit afraid of change, but that was so great and such a great atmosphere that, you know... A lot of other Rainans have adopted that, and I'm sure it's going to be that way when we show in Kentucky, and it pumps you up. I mean, there's nothing better than when you run in there for that first stop and the music, you know, there's a great song playing and the crowd goes crazy, and I mean, you're wired, you're pumped, and it's fun.
We should say, too, in Aachen at the last World Equestrian Games, it was standing room only. The Germans love reining. That place, you're right, when you watch the video, or if you were there, that place was rocking. It was loud.
Yeah, it was absolutely, it was one of the most incredible atmospheres that I've been in. Spain was similar, but just, you know, the reining crowd in 02 was probably not as educated as they were in 06. And I think for 2010, it's going to be, you know, the American crowd, there's going to be a lot of foreigners there for sure. But, you know, the Americans, they're going to have to step up and do some cheering. And they got a big task ahead of them to fill the shoes of Aachen.
Okay,
well,
duly noted.
Well, thank you very much for being with us. We really appreciate it. We're actually going to be talking to your friend Tim McKay here very shortly, another member of the United States team representing here at the World Equestrian Games. And we really appreciate talking to you. We're looking forward to meeting you in person.
Well, we look forward to it, too. And Tim, actually, this is a great deal for us because Tim actually is my father-in-law, so...
No way.
It's going to be, Yeah, we are going to have a lot of fun at the next at the game or at the weight games, and you know, I mean, we're truly blessed to have the amount of riders that tried out for the team and the quality of horses this year for us both to be on the same team. It's just an amazing, amazing thing.
No competition there.
And we'll have to rope you in. We'll have to rope you into coming down to the convention center with us in the evenings and talking about your rides, please.
Hey, just come get us. We'd love to do it.
All right, thank Great. You very much.
Thanks, Tom. Good luck.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you to Tom for explaining a little bit more in detail exactly what happens in the reining competition. And now we're going to talk to his teammate, Tim McKay, and find out how he's preparing for the upcoming World Equestrian Games.
Glenn the Geek here, founder of the Horse Radio Network. We are excited to bring you a special holiday helmet mini-series, giving the gift of safety, purchasing a helmet for your loved ones at Christmas. Today, we bring you the first of some amazing stories of how helmets have affected people's lives. With us are Lindsay White, founder of RidersForHelmets.com, and Deborah Furphy sharing her story. This series is sponsored by Charles Owen. When Charles Owen himself founded the company in 1911, his mission was to make products for a safer world. The incorporation of the latest technology in protection, fit, and ventilation allows you to focus on riding in the knowledge that your Charles Owen helmet will take the very best care of you. Safety, comfort, fit, all wrapped up in a helmet that is the epitome of style in each discipline. Why wait any longer? Nothing says you care more than the gift of a Charles Owen helmet for the holidays. There's a trained helmet fitter waiting in your local tack store, or you can find Charles Owen helmets at any of your favorite online tack outlets. Give the gift of safety and style this Christmas with Charles Owen. And now Lindsay White, founder of RidersForHelmets.com, and Deborah Furphy sharing her story. Well, I want to thank you both, Deb and Lindsay, for joining us today. Of course, Deb is here to tell us our first story in this series, and Lindsay is here from Riders for Helmets, going to be talking a little bit about that in just a few minutes. But I want to start with you, Deb. You know, Lindsay said you've got to talk to Deb. She has an amazing story of recovery to talk about and what happened to you. So let's go back in time a little bit and tell us what happened.
Okay. Well, I have to say first and foremost that my helmet saved my life. My doctors told me I wouldn't walk again. They told me a lot of horrible, horrible things. So let's get into the accident and why that happened and why I was actually wearing the approved type of helmet at that time. I had just turned 18 on December 3rd, 1991. I was among the top in my region and nationally ranked in junior hunters, large and small, and equitation, large hunter pony. And then on December 5th, a horse I was schooling for a client refused the jumps that we were working on. So like most riders, I applied the crop twice, told them, you know, we're not going to deal with this nonsense. And we circled back. And instead of, you know, refusing it, he refused and he reared in such a smooth movement that he lost his balance and he went over backwards and I was not able to get free. And he'd landed on top of me and he fractured in my back the L3, L4, L5, S1, S2, and my coccyx.
Oh my. So that's a serious back break there.
Yeah, that was not a good thing. And 20 years ago, we didn't know what we know now. So there wasn't much they could do other than put me on steroids. But there was major spinal cord compression because of that injury. And he bloodied my nose each time he rolled to try and get up. I'm just so grateful he didn't break it because that was like the only thing that was not broken at that point.
And you were wearing a helmet then?
I was wearing a helmet. He blacked both my eyes. My cheeks were, it looked like I had been, you know, sandpapered down. He split my lips and broke a front tooth. I've had a spinal fusion, nerve blocks. I've been paralyzed 3 times. But I had a dorsal column stimulator implanted to kill the pain, so I'm up and walking. And this is stuff we didn't have 20 years ago. I had a severe concussion. But the whole thing is I was wearing an approved helmet that day, and I usually never wore one. I figured it was a green horse, so why take the chance? And usually I just wear, you know, those nice little decorative fox hunting caps that everybody used to wear with the little elastic chin strap you could cut off.
That are pretty much useless, yeah.
Yeah, they're totally useless. But I was so stupid and so vain when I schooled horses that I thought, oh, this makes me look like everybody else that's a professional. Look at me. Look at how good I look. And, you know, if I had been wearing that instead of the helmet that they made me wear as a junior rider in competition, I would have had my skull crushed in. You can see, I still have the helmet, and you can see where his hoof hit it when he was getting up. You can see the dents in the top. You can see the cracks inside. You can see where it was, you know, structurally compromised. And it's just one of those things where, why did I have that thought? I was so incredibly lucky.
And you told Lindsay this, and you said in your email to me that you've now had a new determination to get back into tech again after all this time.
Yeah, I have. And it's all because of Courtney King Dye. If it wasn't for reading her blog and her story and seeing that she has pretty much the same kind of injuries and weaknesses and problems that I do physically, I would never have had the courage to tell my husband, hey, I want to do this again. It was something I had always dreamed of, but it wasn't something I thought I could do. And a friend of mine turned me on to Courtney's blog last year, and I'm not ashamed to admit that I cried when I read it because it was so reminiscent and so familiar of my own experience. On November 17th, my husband and I are going to a local trail riding establishment, and we are both going on a nice trail ride. And
in a new helmet, I hope.
Yes, in a brand new helmet, actually.
You have your brand new one because you're going to be riding again.
Yeah, and I hope that I'll be able to keep it up. But even if I can't, I know that I tried. I know that I've done my best. I know that I have battled my demons and won.
Lindsay, let's bring you into this conversation. Of course, you're with Riders for Helmets, and you're the one that really has, in my opinion, and I'm going to say this and embarrass Lindsay right now, really has changed the face of helmet wearing around the world and really has brought it to light and really has gotten regulations changed around the world. So, Lindsay, congratulations on all you have done. Tell us what's going on currently. You've been a guest on our shows a number of times. Tell us what's going on currently with Riders for Helmets.
Oh, well, thank you, Glenn. You're too kind. And I think we should definitely give a shout-out to Chad, who works on me with Riders for Helmets as well, because I certainly don't want to downplay all of the work that he does on the campaign. But, yeah, some pretty exciting things. Riders for Helmets celebrated 2 years in April this year of being basically around educating equestrians on helmet wearing. We hosted the third International Helmet Awareness Day this year that had over 500 retailers around the globe participate, which was absolutely outstanding. We hosted earlier in the year the third Riders for Helmet Safety Symposium, and we've got number four in the works right now, so we're going to be announcing that in the near future. We were recently awarded the Certified Horsemanship Association Partnership in Safety Award for 2012, which was a massive honor for us.
Well, congratulations on that.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, that was really cool of them to kind of recognize our efforts in educating equestrians. The Riders for Helmets blog is getting over 25,000 unique visitors a month now from over 40 countries globally, which, again, is just amazing that so many people read that blog and kind of tune in and read everybody's stories. And I have to say, Deborah, that it's stories like yours that have the absolute most impact, because if just one person reads your story and thinks, you know, my gosh, I do need to protect my head, I'm going to go and buy a helmet for the first time in my life, or I'm going to go change my old helmet that's 15 years old, you know, and go buy a new one, then, you know, you as an individual have directly contributed to probably saving somebody's life, or potentially saving somebody's life. You know, so it's your stories, everybody else's stories, the wonderful followers of the campaign, you know, over 10,000 people following the campaign on Facebook now, all sharing the stories. It's just amazing. It's just continuing to grow, and I hope it keeps going, and I hope more and more people kind of follow the campaign, spread the word, and hopefully we get more helmets on people's heads.
What's the website, Lindsay?
Riders with an S, the number four, and then helmets with an S.com. And, you know, want to give a big shout out to Charles Owen as well, because I know they're involved in this helmet educational series with you, Glenn, and they've been incredibly supportive of the Riders for Helmets campaign since the beginning.
I know they have been part of it. I appreciate from the Horse Radio Network that you for Riders for Helmets and Charles Owens are involved and everybody else that's contributing to this series. Thank you so much, Deb. I wish you the best of luck. We're going to have to check in with you and see how you do on your trail ride. You'll be fine.
Yeah, I think it's going to be great. I've asked for an oh crap strap, which is one of sorry.
I still use those. What are you talking about? Well, between that and the helmet, I think you're going to be just fine. So good luck, and we'll be thinking about you.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure, and I hope somebody takes away from this that, you know, you're not invincible even when you're young and you're riding. You need that helmet. Life is hard. Your brain is soft. Protect it.
Thank you to Riders for Helmets for everything they do for helmet awareness and safety. You can visit them at riders4helmets.com. And thank you to Charles Owen. You can visit them at charlesowen.co.uk. And you can hear all the shows on the Horse Radio Network at horseradionetwork.com. Talk to you again next week.
Tim, thank you so much for joining us here on the 2010 Radio Show. And you have won just about everything on hundreds of different horses. So why don't you tell us a little bit in detail exactly the highlights of what you've won and your favorite trophies and a little bit about your horse that you're going to be riding here at the World Equestrian Games, please.
Well, I've been very fortunate to win all of the NRHA major events. We won the gold at Aachen. The team did, and I tried to win the individual, and then in a runoff got beat. But I've been very fortunate with my whole show career, so it's been a very good career for me.
Well, it sounds like there's going to be a little bit of a rivalry with your son-in-law, who we just had on as well.
Well, there always is. I if I don't win, I hope he does. the thing of it is with, I think, any individual in the horse events, doesn't matter if it's the jumping or the reining or any competition, there's always the competition. And, you know, we don't really go to be second. We're always trying to win as much as we can possibly win. And I think that's just part of human nature and part of being in competition.
Now, do you both train together? Do you train at the same place, or are you far apart?
No, he has his own facility. They're only about 20 minutes from us.
Okay.
And they built a brand new place like 4 years ago, and they put an aqua tread in, and I mean they have a rehab place at their place also, and we send horses down there to swim when they have injuries or just to keep some of the older ones legged up that don't have to be ridden all the time. If we're not doing an event for quite a while, we'll send them down there and just swim them and keep in shape without pounding their legs quite so much.
Well, that's great. And now tell us a little bit about your horse. Who are you riding here in Lexington in the fall?
Hollywood Tinseltown is his name. He's by our old stud, Hollywood Dunnett, he kind of made us who we are. We had him for 20 years, and he kind of paid for our place.
He earned $5 million. Is that right? He earned $5 million.
He just sired over $6 million right now.
Oh my goodness!
Wow.
So he's done his job over and over. But anyway, Hollywood Tinseltown is by him and out of a mare that I won a lot of stuff on. I won over $100,000 with her in the reining, which is, at that time of her career, was a lot of money. That was 11, 12 years ago, and she did very, very well. So he's out of a great mare and by Dunnett, and he's just been a very, very good horse. We've trained him since he's been at our place since he was a baby, pretty much. And David and Bonnie Silva own him, and they've just been fabulous customers for us for probably almost 30 years.
And how old is he now?
He is 6 years old. He still showed in some of the aged events for us. They are 4-, 5-, and 6-year-old events. He still showed in them. I kept him out of the Derby, which was just before we went to the Battle in the Saddle to decide who was going to be on the team. And I just didn't think it was fair to him to go compete there the week before and then come and try to do what we did to get on the team. And I was very happy I did because I had a lot of horse there.
So that couldn't have been more different to your son-in-law, Tom, who I think the Battle in the Saddle was one of the first competitions he did with his horse that he'll bring to Lexington. You've had yours since...
Yeah, he just bought the horse at after the NRBC, which was in April.
Yeah.
And he didn't show him until we got there.
But interestingly, you both are married to English riders.
Well, it's not so interesting on my daughter's part because she grew up with her mother, Colleen. So, you know, she had a lot of miles in the ring before I ever got to get her on a reining horse. Playing, you know, 100 ponies and stuff. So I had an advantage.
Yeah, I noticed that on your website, the Hunter Jumper tab is as big as the reining tab. So, so there's a Hunter Jumper influence in your family for sure.
Oh, no question. The only difference is she keeps about 18 around and I keep about 180 with all the fruit mares and the babies and all that stuff. So
how big is your plate?
A little different.
I think, you know, we have listeners in 42 countries, and some of those countries, they don't get much space. You know, there's not much turnout. How give people an idea of the size of your facility.
Well, we have 70 acres right here at our home place, and then we own another 22 acres that's about 5 miles north of us that we keep some mares and babies on and stuff.
Okay.
But we have 110 stalls.
Wow.
So we stay very busy.
Yeah, I would say. So tell us a little bit. Now, we're coming into the fall here, and you'll probably be going to, what, one or two more competitions before the World Equestrian Games at this point?
Yes, we will. Well, we go next week just to the one of the very first three-year-old events that we go to, that we just barely start showing some of our three-year-olds in Minnesota. And then we come home, and in 3 weeks we'll go back to Tulsa, Oklahoma. That's another three-year-old event that will show, again, a few of our three-year-olds there. And I also will take Hollywood's Tinseltown there just to school him and just try to get him ready to be in my court when we get to the horse show there.
Okay.
Who will be the biggest competition, do you think, at the horse park when you get here in September?
Country-wise, you know, I think Italy, Germany are going to be, they'll be pretty tough. Canada, I know Dwayne Latimer is going to be very tough. He's got a very nice horse, and he'll be tough himself. The Canadians, I mean, they're okay, but Brad Giesbrecht was going to try and make their team, and he had the horse that won the individual at Aachen, and he got hurt just before they went to their trials, and that made a hole in their team. So, but again, the Canadians they'll be good.
Yeah, and we are our spotlight reiner. We've been following an individual from each of the disciplines for the past year. Here is Lisa Coulter, and so I think you'll have a female from the Canadian team to look out for as well. She's an underdog and surprises people a lot of times.
Yeah, she can. There's no question about that. You know, you just never know because if today's the horse's day, they can be unbeatable.
And are you fluent in Italian like your son-in-law?
Pardon?
Are you fluent in Italian like your son-in-law?
No, I didn't live over there. He did. Well, I know a few words, but that's it.
Well, we are looking forward to seeing you here in Lexington in the fall. We're looking forward to cheering you on. And we wish the American team very good luck. I think you guys have a tremendous team. It's a very strong team. And, you know, we've always obviously done well in reining, but it's been amazing how popular reining, we were talking about this with Tim, how popular reining has become in Europe and around the world. Reining is one of the most popular sports now at the World Equestrian Games. And, you know, who would have thought that years ago when you know, it was discussed to put it in the first place?
Well, you know better than we did, but it's, you know, it's a little like any horse event. It grows on you. You know, you see a lot of runs, but you always wait around to see those special runs. And I think there's going to be some of the special runs at the games this year.
Do you have a company in the horse world? Are you looking to get the word out about your products, services, or shows? At the Horse Radio Network, we understand our advertisers need to reach the equestrian consumer in the most efficient, cost-effective way possible. Internet radio shows like this one, also called podcasts, allow the flexibility and creativity to craft unique messages that stand out from the herd and reinforce your existing marketing and social media strategies. If you want to learn more about advertising on this show or any of our shows on the Horse Radio Network, contact our account manager, Lisa, at 847-790-4476. That's Lisa at 847-970-4476, or you can drop her an email at lisa@horseradionetwork.com. Our listeners are terrific, engaged, and avid horse people, the ones that you are looking for.
All right, Wendy, are you nervous? It's that time. We have music to play because guess what? It's our attempt.
Pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader.
Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trading. They tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if the talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
Yep, it's time for Really Bad Ads, everybody's favorite time of the week, Fridays at 10 o'clock. We bring you some of the best and worst Craigslist ads from across the country submitted by our listeners who have scoured Craigslist in numerous states to find these. And today, the winner of Really Bad Ads, picked by Wendy, I might add, will win a Redmond Rock gift pack. And you can find all of their cool products at redmondequine.com. Redmond Rocks are a mineral block that they chisel out of the ground in Utah, and they don't even shape it into a block or anything. They just send you a great big rock. And you can find these at tack shops and feed stores across the country. You'll see the Redmond Rock display. If you see the display, they're going to cost you $10 to $12 in that range. Buy one. These are worth it. Your horses will love these things. Cows love it. Everything loves these things. Our horse just will lick on that thing. We're always worried about his tongue getting bloody because he loves this thing. It has 60 minerals, not just salt, but it also has 60 different minerals in it. So he's getting his salt intake that he needs, especially in this hot weather, but he's also getting other minerals that the horse needs as well. Now, your horse, all of our horses here at the Horse Radio Network love Redmond Rocks, and you can find them at redmondequine.com. And we thank Mike and the gang over there for offering this gift pack that's going to go out to the winner. Well, the first ad today was submitted by a Wendy, by Wendy Taylor, and it says, this is our attempt, people, so we know Jamie is the goddess of this. Please forgive our feeble attempt to do really bad ads, but we didn't want to let you go 3 weeks without them. So here we go.
Yeah.
Awesome little horse, $1. I have two great little horses for sale. One is a three-year-old Palomino. Oh, by the way, this ad has about a million exclamation points. There are exclamation points at the end of every short sentence. Most of our ads submitted to us don't have any punctuation at all. This one has a lot of punctuation. I was trying to say plethora. There we go.
She's
plethora
excited.
Of punctuation.
She's excited about it. She's just expressing her enthusiasm.
So I'm going to express the enthusiasm as it relates to her punctuation. 3-year-old Palomino filly named Ruffian. She ties, leads, loads, saddles, bridles, bays, and trims great. She is very well started. I have ridden her this year about 5 times. And she is great. The last time I rode her was about a week or so ago. She is not registered. But she has the most wonderful complexion and attitude. Complexion? Does she get pimples? Is that?
I don't know. She's clear.
I didn't know horses had complexion. That's new on me. She is about 14-2 hands. I am asking $400 for her. I will not trade. Only cash. I need to buy a laptop for school. That's the first two, by the way, right there.
Hey, so you know what else it says? Complexion.
Yeah.
But it says $1 in the beginning. Then it says $400, and she'll only take cash.
Well, she also says she has 2 great little horses for sale, and I only see one here, so I don't know.
Maybe she got too excited. She got too excited and forgot about the other one.
That's it. That is. But do you know about the complexion thing? You're a vet. Do horses have complexion?
No. I mean, maybe she needs the color. Maybe she means she's shiny.
I don't know.
When I can't think of anything nice to say about a horse, I say, oh, well, they're so shiny.
So if you
I mean, at
that,
least they could be shiny or
selling a horse like Craigslist, and it says the horse is shiny, she hates the thing.
if it's a shiny with beautiful hair, you know, then there's not a lot going on there.
Now, Wendy, I gave you this next one in honor of Jamie, because one of the things Jamie is so good at is reading the ads that people put in with line after line of text and no punctuation at all. And our listeners are terrific at finding them. So I gave this to you because I didn't want you to feel left out.
Okay, I'm going to try. But Jamie, I'm going to apologize beforehand because I am really, really bad at this. This one is sent in from Erica. Look, I can't even read the person's name. Erica Winnestorfer. And it's a AQHA 5-year-old buckskin for $2,000. Okay. Dixie is a 5-year-old. She has a beautiful baby at her side. She is Sarah Quincy Dan Mayer. She has been raised by me. She was broke as a baby. Kids can ride her. She is now being rode by me since she was 3. She is still learn as we go. Have not rode her since she had her baby. She is not scared of anything. As of yet, she delivers baby while in this stall. It does not bother her. She stands 15 hands now, but still growing. She should be 15 too. I plan on sticking her on cows later to see what she will do as a cutting horse. You may call or text me or ask for John. I can send pictures if you want more, or can go to AubreyPedigree.com and look at her bloodline. She is papered. Name is 2-bit Dixie Deluxe. Make me an offer or trade. Have lots of horses for sale this year. Need a smaller herd, cutting down on to 2 horses in the end.
Wow. Very good.
I practiced.
That was really good. That was really good. I'm impressed. But, you know, now Jamie would then go back and do it in her best Southern accent. You want to give that a try?
I can't do the Southern accent.
Okay, all right. I was just kidding. That was very good. I'm impressed. You did that with one breath, and that was about 10 lines.
No,
there.
I did too. I did too. I had to take one in the middle.
Oh, did you? Okay, all right. All right, the next one was sent in by Robin Donahue, who is in our chat room at this very moment. By the way, I forgot to mention the chat room, but it has been open for the whole show. She sent in a female quarter horse, $400. Female quarter horse that is only 6 years old, tamed for riding, reddish brown in color, asking $400 or best offer. I love that. Tamed for riding.
It's tame.
Yeah, just tamed, not trained. Tamed.
No.
Yeah.
Tamed.
Yeah. Tamed. That's why it's only $400. If it was trained, it would be $800.
Exactly. You can't have everything. It's only $400. What do you want? Okay, the next one is from Christy Thompson, and it's a gelding Swanona. I don't know what that means, but I have a gelding Swanona. Needs at action for sale, $75 to $50. Holler for pickup. It's a Missouri Fox Trotter. I'm off on Sundays and Mondays. Holler anytime after 7:30, 8:30 p.m.
A lot of hollering going on there.
I think maybe Swanona is the name.
I don't know. It says Gelding Swanona. Needs Ation, which is A-T-T-I-O-N. Ation, yep. And it's $75 to $50. So can I offer? Why would I pay 75? Just asking.
I don't know. If you know she's going to take 50, I would start at 50. I would give her 25.
Yeah, she probably
would
take
her. I would haul her out and see if she takes 25.
Now, the next one. I have an inkling that I almost want to call this one on the air. We have never done that before, but I am pretty close to wanting to call this one. Why don't you read this one and describe the picture, and then I'll decide whether I'm going to call her.
Okay, we have to call, because basically I want this. This was sent in by Shauna Sparks, and the picture is so adorable. Let me read the thing. Halter broke Highlander bull calf. Okay, it is like the most adorable shaggy baby, and it's a cow that is tied to this hitching post with a Western saddle on. Yearling Scottish Highlander bull calf. Halter broke ties, loads in the trailer, has saddle on him a few times, not papered. Highlander is known for lean, high-end beef, would make a few delicious steaks, would trade for quality horse or guns, Wade saddle or nice Decker pack saddles. Anything of value. Shoot me your ideas.
Okay. When you look at this thing, do you think of steak?
No, I think I want to brush it and cuddle it and feed it carrots and ride it.
Jennifer has to post a picture of this on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning. This is the cutest little calf ever. It's all hairy and brown. You can't even see its eyes. It has so much hair. These Highlander calves have... I know! The Scottish Highlander calves have so long a hair. They're like 8, 10 inches long hair. And here she is, has this cute picture of this calf with the saddle on it, all ready to go. And then she talks about how it'll make great steaks. Oh,
well, if you don't want fried, you can eat it. Yeah. I'm going to go straight down to Walmart, buy myself some guns, and I'm going to trade her some guns for this little cow. I wonder how many guns this cow costs.
Or a Wade saddle, whatever that is, or a Decker pack saddle. You could do any one of those, actually.
It says anything of value. Anything of value.
That's true. That's true.
So yeah. Maybe I'll go to a garage sale and see if I can.
I made some potato salad for a potluck dinner tonight. You think they'd trade?
That's valuable. Shoot her your ideas.
You know what? Let's do it.
What?
What the heck? What, I wonder where this is. 530. Jennifer, can you look where 530 is while we finish the really bad ads and see what state that's in? I don't want to wake them up, but I'm tempted to call this one just to find out more about this cute, adorable little cow. But the next one was sent in by Dawn Bailey, who said, Nin Pony and Kid, $500.
Oh, now, you can get a kid?
Yep, that's right. We have a min mom and six-day-old baby filly. Mom pulls a cart and has been prayed. Mom will be black with barker legs and strip down her back. Baby will be same. Baby has been picked up every day and held and kissed, and we are asking $550 for them. And there is a nest sold separately. Please call. Let me review. Mom pulls a cart and has been prayed. Apparently, they pray a lot with mom.
I think that means in a parade.
Oh, got it. Okay, I thought they prayed with the horse. Mom will be black with barker legs. What's a barker leg?
I have no idea.
Is that the dog bites his legs all the time? I don't know what that is.
Maybe.
Barker leg.
Maybe
and
a special
it has a
mark?
Strip. It has a strip down her back, baby. So I thought that was interesting, too. And I love this. Baby has been picked up every day and held and kissed. So
I would do that. If I had a mini baby, I would pick it up every day and kiss it.
I know, but I've never seen that in an ad for selling it, that we kiss. It's very kissable. We've never seen that on a horse before.
I don't know. That's good. I mean, that's selling me. That's selling me on this pony and mini, that she picks it up every day and kisses it. That's almost like it's shiny and has gray hair.
There you go.
You know what I love about this ad, Glenn? Look, this spelling, I mean, it's like she's totally illiterate, but yet she sent it from her iPad.
Oh, that's true. You're right. You are absolutely right.
Steve Jobs is rolling over in his grave right now.
Aubrey, send in the next one for you.
Okay. Aubrey Miller, send in this one. It's a 1995 AQHA Running Blood Sorrel Mare for sale, $800. 45 is a 1995 AQHA Registered Sorrel Broodmare. Her pedigree includes such greats as Top Deck, Twice, Spearmint, Man of War, Three Bars, and Peter McHugh. Her registered name is I Know She's a Honey. She is not a honey. This mare has attitude. Just breed her and leave her alone. She's fed at the barn daily and accepts wormer and vaccination. She produces size, confirmation, and speed. We are downsizing our herd or she would not be for sale.
She is not a honey. Whatever.
She's not. I can see they love her so much. If they weren't downsizing, they'd be out there cuddling her, picking her up every day, kissing her, obviously.
Okay, let me ask you. I don't know a lot about breeding.
I love how she accepts wormer and vaccinations. This is like my nightmare to go when they say, can you come give my horse a shot? This would be like the nightmare one that I wouldn't be wanting to dart her from the outside of the barn.
I don't know a lot about breeding, Wendy, but do you really want to breed the nut job? Doesn't that breed nut jobbiness into the kids?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, also, what if you have to do something with the mare or the baby?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That's bad, too. That's good. Good one, Aubrey. Hey, Coach Jen found this one, my wife. She found this one in our local Craigslist. And I love this because it's a horse husband ad. This is a man after my own heart right here. Coastal hay bales, $5 in Ocala. By the way, Jennifer, did you go buy these hay bales? That's cheap. That's really cheap. You need to call them and go get them. Yep. You're on mute, I think. We can't hear you. But, you need to come off of mute first. 12 coastal hay bales, $5 each. Just purchased them yesterday from Spar here in Ocala for $6.99 each. Still have the receipt. The thing is, my horses eat peanut hay. My husband bought the wrong hay. I just need to make room in the barn for the right hay. Come and get the coastal for a great price, and don't send your hubby on horsey errands. Call or text.
That's funny. Basically, they don't want to, like, load it up back on the thing and take it back to Spar.
That's it. And did you call about it or not?
Just go get it.
It was gone in about 15 minutes.
I bet. Aww. 12 bales at $5. That's cheap down here. And for all you listeners out there that are women that have a husband, this is why we don't want to do your barn chores. This is why when you say, can you pick this up at the tack shop? We will always get the wrong thing. Don't send us to the feed store. Don't send us to the tack shop unless you expect it to be screwed up. And then you need to accept that. You need to make peace with that before we ever leave the house. Because when we get back, it's not going to be right. It's not fair that you send us to do it. That's my point. I'm just saying.
Okay. I bet there was a whole huge blowout, too, like that she's not telling us about. Like, there's a lot of screaming and yelling.
I know.
Don't
because
you think?
She said here, my husband bought the wrong hay, !
Yeah. I wish there was a, she should have videoed it and put it on YouTube with the ad.
All right, next one was sent in by Tiffany Crumbly, which was a new name I don't remember before, so thank you, Tiffany. It's a white flea-bitten mare, child-safe, dead broke. Now, I don't know exactly what it is, but it's dead broke and it's child-safe. And it is from Defunkinic Springs.
Defunkinic Springs.
What is it?
Defunkinic Springs. That's where Duke and Dante came from.
Your horses came from there? Defunkinic Springs?
Yes. Defunkinic Springs is actually Defunkinic Springs, which is in L.A., not the L.A. in California, the L.A. Lower Alabama.
How did you ever end up in Lower Alabama?
You know, it was like one of my many bad life choices. But anyways, I've escaped. And I actually thought it was near the beach, which I was wrong. It was only like 45 minutes from the beach, but yet in another world. Okay, so Defunkinic Springs is very picturesque. There's lots of trail riding, but it is kind of out there.
Yeah.
So Walmart is very far away.
this person really ought to learn where they live. That's what I, because they spelled it wrong. So they yeah. really ought to learn where they live. Yeah. All right, here we go. Now, this is also one sentence. Let me get a drink first because I'm getting really dry here. And this is my attempt at doing a Jamie.
Oh, I'm glad you have a no punctuation one.
This really should be a Southern accent, but mine stinks as much as yours. Here we go. 12-year dead broke child safe. Anyone can ride quarter horse smooth grok. Great horse loads well, stands for farrier. Don't kick, no bad habits. Great with other horses. I have too many. She is good riding, lies and been there and done that. So she don't spook and rides and loads and cars, dogs. She's great horse, been used for roping and pass, but used on trail ridding. And don't go just for trail rid, rode by myself. She's sweet and very easy to catch in field. Don't miss out, miss great deal for her call. Got that?
Got
terrific.
It.
Terrific. For your, there was a horse in there somewhere, I guess.
Good job, Glenn.
Yeah,
good job.
Thank you. All right, now, horse trailer. We always have one, don't we, Wendy? Every single week, listeners find
I'm
a horse trailer.
You, I think this is just the other side of the one you had last week that has the plywood on the side. This is the other side,
color,
the metal side. It's the exact same color. Okay, this is sent in from Dawn Bailey. I also do like, there's a Shar Pei in the background in a little harness. So, horse trailer, $1,000. Works great. Hauled it in just over 2 months ago. Tabs are expired. Have title in hand. Call or text only. I will not be checking email whatsoever.
And to describe this trailer, it's a two-horse trailer. Apparently, he has to lean it against a pine tree to keep it standing up because two-horse trailer is pushed all the way into the pine tree. We can't even see if this thing has a hitch because the pine tree's in the way. And
well,
the grass
how do you even hook it up?
I don't know. The grass has kind of grown up around the tires, but the tires appear, we can't tell really, but the tires don't appear to be flat, which should probably be a first one. And it is painted this lovely multicolored blue, white, gray, plywood, red kind of color.
It's like tie-dye.
Yeah, it is kind of like tie-dye, actually. It looks like his kids
like
painted
tie-dye.
It. That's what it kind of looks like. It does
yeah.
have
Partridge Family trailer.
Like
that's it, the Partridge Family. It would look great behind a bus.
Yeah.
You're right.
You have to pay extra for that.
And there isn't one show in America today that you're going to listen to that you have heard the Partridge Family mentioned. Only on ours. Will you find a mention
yep,
of the
you're
Partridge
right.
Family today? That's darn right. I wish I had music, but I don't. That would drive Jamie nuts. So Jennifer's going to post a picture of this trailer. The Shar Pei is probably worth more than the trailer, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, I just like how he said, I will not be checking email whatsoever.
So don't
even bother to email, even though I'm posting it on Craigslist. And Craigslist people don't like to call anyway. They do everything on email. They don't like to speak to other people. They're Craigslist people.
That's true. All right, the winner, picked by Wendy, and I'm going to let you read this one, and you can announce who the winner
All
is
right.
for this week. Really, I don't think we did too bad, by the way. I'm just saying.
I think it was not as good as Jamie, but okay, our winner is Glenn Forster, and this is actually my favorite ad of the week. It's so funny. Okay, 50-gallon Rubbermaid feeding trough, $30. This thing has been everything for me and my boys. We use it as a boat, see the oar locks. If I can find the oars, I'll throw them in, but please strap life vests to the outside to keep it from tipping over. Ask me how I know this. Last used to winter our goldfish in the garage. If you bury it and put some rocks around it, it would make a great garden pond. Please call 404-216-4283 if interested. And the reason I read the number is because they spelled it out like a little song. You know, like it's a commercial.
404-216-4283. It's a jingle. I love this. Please wrap life vests around the outside to keep it from tipping over. If you're using it as a boat, ask me how I know this.
Ask me how I know this. I wanna use it. And they put oar locks on it. So, I mean, who the hell would do that?
Can you see it now? I can just picture this. This is a guy that definitely put this ad in. There's no question in my mind because the guy had his boys out to the lake. and he thought they needed a boat, so he thought it was a great idea. He'd take this Rubbermaid feeding trough, and he'd make it into a boat. Now, his wife, on the way out there, said, "Don't do anything stupid, boys, and that includes you, hubby." And, of course, he went out there, did something really stupid, almost drowned the kids, and when he got back, he got yelled at, too. He's probably the same family that had the coastal hay bales.
I bet you're right. Probably.
Can't you just picture that whole scene taking place, though?
I think it's so I think, like, how do you say, "I've got this great idea. Let's use the Rubbermaid tub as a boat."
Thanks for tuning in, everyone.